Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is a cool update from ToyCon UK and all the great things that are happening over there. It was an incredible show. And yes, Toys on Tap will be there at some point. We've been trying to work out some details to get there. But until we get there, we just like to bring on the guys to talk through everything that happens. If you want to support the show, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. It helps us. It's free for you. It means so much to us. You can follow along on social media at Toys on Tap. And if you want to, you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. It's where you get extra episodes, you get the episodes, videos, and all kinds of stuff. And so we're really pumped about the Patreon. And we're trying to figure out more stuff to go along with that. And then when the Frank figure is all done, that will go out to the people that have signed up and support the Patreon for free, because we absolutely love you guys. But let's get back to this week's episode, Toys on Tap.
There we go.
There, you're on it, man.
Oh, permissions. So many permissions. Use the microphone, and I've just put, I've just put, so we use Teams here more than Zoom. So we're, I think Teams is a bit more secure, isn't it? So,
yeah.
But yeah, so I didn't have Zoom on my phone until this evening, so yeah.
I'm pumped that you're on. I'm glad that you guys, because this is after the show. When was the last time I had you guys both on?
Just before the show. Okay. So it would have been, I mean, we were beginning of April, so yeah, it would have been, no, sorry, beginning of May.
Okay.
So I think it was sometime in April, so springtime, okay. Yeah.
And I can't wait to hear about it. I'm pumped to talk through what happened, what it was like in this big show. But before we do, you got to introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
I'm Ben Hart, and I am one half of ToyCon UK and Kore Kore, which is a toy store. So, I've been doing it for since 2013. ToyCon UK in 2015 for Kore Kore. So, yes.
That's awesome.
I'm here. And I'm here because of that.
Yeah. What number show was this?
It was 2013, 12, I think. Well, it's actually 11 because we missed out 2021 for obvious reasons. So, the COVID obviously struck. So I think so. We're one short on the actual time we've been running as such. So I think it's 11 shows over 12 years. So it's 2013, it's 2025. That adds up. That's the one.
So, 11 shows. Tell me about the 11th show. Tell me about everything that happened this year. I need to hear highlights. All the kinds of stuff that you are ready for.
Well, I mean. I think the show highlight was probably having Rich from Mutant Vinyl Hardcore come over. It was obviously made it really special. It's really special anyway. You know, we have, for the last few years now, we've had an amazing roster of not just homegrown talent and Euro talent, but talent from all over the world coming in. So we've consistently for years had people like Muffin Man and Deadbeat City, Dolly Oblong, people like that, who obviously are much far more local. But yeah, the last few years, you know, having the likes of Uemu Ayako and Mori and the crew that they bring, like Gokuro last year and Called Viper this year, really blew us away. But as always, it's the new people and the people that you don't know about that really kind of make it special. And I think that's something that you know, I'm not going to go, the UK's good, but the UK does seem to do it very well, and we've consistently had new people come through year on year, and they may not come back again, but they certainly go on and they have careers, and they certainly do a lot better, I think, for coming to Toycon UK. So we were full to the since COVID, we've never really been capacity for vendors, so the space, we've never really filled it. This year we did that.
Yeah. How many vendors?
We had, let me think. I think we had 46 booths with 10 tables, which doesn't sound like a lot, but people share. So you have, I mean, we had a whole crew come over, Marva Toys from Mexico, which was absolutely amazing. And they, again, brought so much to the show, real kind of like fresh feel and just the enthusiasm that they bought as well. And he's an amazing guy, Marv Toys. If you don't know of him or know him, he's just trying to sort of curate and put on events and really represent a lot of artists and toy artists over in Mexico. So obviously there's a big scene going on at the moment. So over there, it's really, really, really kicking off. So, but yeah. So it was pretty special in
what up, toy nerds, this is Ray
and Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys,
we talk about toys,
we talk about old toys
and new toys
and toys that we make,
and we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats. YouTube.
Bye.
Again, a lot of the unknowns that you're not really sure when people sort of pay the money and they book their spot, as it were. So, but yeah, there were like five artists on their table, I think, or two tables. They got a double. So, there was a lot of brands. Overall, who knows how many people were really there representing, there's always somebody's got a little something from somebody. So yeah.
Insane.
But it definitely felt like it was bigger and better than the year before. And we've felt like that the last few years. And I don't know, again, whether it's COVID, where we kind of like didn't have to reset, but it felt, obviously we've had to build it back up since then, but I'm sure it's the same for everyone, so
that's so crazy. I mean, one, it's crazy that like we're still seeing ramifications of COVID even after all these years, and I think two, it just shows like how ToyCon UK is really growing. You're seeing all these artists from all over the world traveling to be a part of this show in a place where the scene is still growing and still like making it happen.
Yeah, totally. And the scene is still quite wee here and in Europe. And I think, yeah, it really didn't help what happened. But yeah, we feel that we've kind of crossed over and we're sort of moving in the right direction again, definitely. And also, I think a lot of we seem to, it's, I think we've got a bit of a name for ourselves. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but it's a bit easier to maybe kind of get certain things, like obviously it's crazy in Asia. Some of the shows there, the queuing and the giving out like loads and loads and loads and loads of wristbands or lottery tickets and things like that. So, but for, large amounts of people, it's on a much smaller scale. So, but you've also got the sorts of people that generate those sorts of numbers in Asia. So I think we're getting quite a bit of a, and again, it's London, we're a bit of a tourist destination. So, as I always say, London's lovely in the spring, so yeah. I'm not going to, because I come from London and all the usual kind of like gripes I might have with the place, it's still a really cool place to come and visit. And whether you're into art or history or pretty much anything, obviously food now, we're you know, all these things, you know, help to kind of, you know, bring that sort of like that element over, and yeah, definitely bringing that tourist element as well, so people are coming to a shop at the show as well as see London. So tie it all in nicely.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, tell me about, like, if it's this full, there is potential that we have to find a new location to grow a little bit, right?
Well, that's, again, that's easier said than done. I spend a lot of time, Abraham, a lot of time looking at different venues all over the place. And one thing, again, we kind of want to stay in London. I'm London based, and we also feel when it sounds terrible, but all kind of train tracks and things like that in this country lead to London. You know, and when people flying in, you don't necessarily want to make them travel 2-3 hours, and potentially even more, because again, our public transport isn't the greatest. And you know, all you need is, like, on your weekend, you've got some engineering works or something. Believe me, this is what it's like. So you know, we have that thing, but unfortunately, that just drives the cost up because of the location. And we feel at the moment we still, even though we've got vendors that really, really want to come over, and call vendors that, you know, we're amazed that they want to be at our show, and you know, unfortunately, we've still not got the footfall.
Yeah.
So to if we, you know, I could maybe get a bigger venue, sell it, or get close to selling it, because we had quite a few people. We had to turn away quite a few vendors this year as well because we were full up. Mm-hmm. People coming in sort of a little bit late and things like that. But, you know, we still, by the end of it, we had quite a sizable list of people that didn't make it in, you know. And we do kind of serve a first-come, first-serve basis. So, but, yeah, so that's really the kind of the catch-22 is that we could kind of get a bigger space, but we still need to get more people through the door, you know. And that's really where we're still growing in this country, is actually there's a lot of people, actually got loads of vendors making really cool stuff. You know, we get sent stuff all the time, of people that you know, want to be at the show and want to show their stuff, you know, literally got, but you know, that needs to be translated over into people that want to kind of come in and buy all of that stuff. So, and at the moment, that's where we're at. So we'd rather kind of wait until we're bursting at the seams and just curate it a little bit and try and make it work. But if we are really obviously bursting at the seams and things are right, yeah. You know, I mean, believe you me, there isn't a venue probably of the size that, you know, we kind of require that I'm not aware of in the M25. So, which is a circular motorway that goes around London.
Yeah.
So, which Londoners kind of usually use as a barrier to, like, that's us, that's them. So, but yeah. So, you know, so no, I mean, I fully hear you, and it's a nice conundrum to have. You know, that, you know, loads of people wanting to come to your show and be at your show, but we need the public to get in there first.
Yeah.
So before we make that, you know, I mean, I'm just being honest. I could really, I suppose this is the thing with ToyCon, we've always, while we are, I suppose, maybe still a little bit small, and, you know, but unfortunately, without that, you can't push something that's not there. It's you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, I did two decons obviously over here, and, you know, they were in a really big venue, and it was just empty. It was lost. You know, if it had maybe been in a sort of venue the size that we do, it might have been, you know. But so, you know, you've got to kind of know your natural level, you know. But
that's crazy.
Fingers crossed, mate, the dream. So
yeah,
the dream.
I mean, looking at this, you've done it 11 times, and so it's like now it's almost like plug and play. Like, you know, the things that need to happen. We know what needs to go on. What are some things that we learned this year? Some things that, like, we either are going to adjust or figure out, like, what happened this year that gave us something to learn about?
I think as far as we have a big bone of contention is the queuing.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed. Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures. DKE.
So this goes on year in, year out, and yeah. we run a lottery now, which again is something we've borrowed from Asian shows, where again, you know, when people are selling things on a first come first serve without any lottery or timed releases, maybe later in the day, things like that, when people are literally like, you get here, you buy it, you're always going to have that element of people wanting to be first in the queue, running that. So for us to, I mean, we've kind of had complaints about the lottery, because when unfortunately people that are willing to camp out overnight don't get a great number pulled in the lottery, then suddenly it's, oh, I want it to be like the old days where I'm going to be outside the hotel for like 26 hours beforehand. And so, yeah, you know, things like that, we're kind of, we feel that it works really well for us. We're quite slick with it. So that's kind of something that we've really tried to work on and make as good as possible and get people in as quick as possible. I think the thing is people think that everybody wants exactly what they want at that first moment in time. And it's like, man, you've got to kind of give respect to, there's a lot of different people in that room, vendors, that all the different people in the queue want to be at. You know, not everybody wants to be where you want to be. So you just got to kind of remember that, I think, a little bit. But I mean, really, for us, we don't think, you know, it's hard. We've done kind of things like panels and stuff like that. The space that we have doesn't really kind of, unless we again start branching out into other bits, which is then kind of disjointed out of the actual room that we're within. So, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one, because it works really well the way it is. The 2 days especially, we find the Sunday gives everybody a bit of a, you know, if you're there for the 2 days, a bit of chance to breathe, and also for vendors to kind of interact a little bit more with each other. Lots of things, and we said before, you know, lots of collaborations are forged on the Sunday, because yeah, everyone's just got a bit of chance to kind of, you know, Saturday is frantic. I mean, and again, this was something again that we didn't know with the queue, was that when people were staying up all night, they'd come in and get their things, and we were like, why is the room emptied out at like sort of like 12 o'clock, and we've opened at 11. They've all gone back to their rooms to go to sleep. Do you know what I mean? Because they've been queuing up all night.
That's so crazy.
That hasn't, the last 2 years, it stayed like proper buzzing. So, you know, yeah, we've actually kind of got it to kind of like how we really, really want it to be. And it's awesome. It's really, really awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think as well, for us, trying to latch onto things like the phenomenon of Labubu. Mm-hmm. I mean, that obviously we need to speak about, you know, because that, I mean, I don't know whether anywhere else in the world has actually had fights in queues. We have. So, you know, that's why Popmart. Stratford Popmart, we've had fights in the queue for the Labubu. So, you know, so, fingers crossed as well that all of that, you know, because it does, people, you know, Kaiting Lung is, for me, before Popmart, he's a designer toy maker. You know, I've got more of his vinyl toys through, like, say, How To Works and stuff like that than I have actual fluffy labubus, although my wife does have some, of course. Every girl needs some for their handbag. So, you know, but yeah, you know, so there's kind of that going on as well in the back. So, you know, we're kind of interested. We're kind of like watching that. And also, you know, we're doing with the store, we're doing pop-ups and we're trying to do other events sort of in London just to try and, trying to get some interest going and you know, get people sort of back on and, oh, you know, there's this, you know, which is really cool.
With the rise of the Labubu thing, which, I mean, it's crazy. There's, I had Luke Chu on, man, I want to say 6 months ago. And we talked about it, and it was before this, like, whatever happened. I don't know. But it started going nuts. Does that kind of impact? Because I've had the same conversation that those that buy Labubu or whatever they're going to do, that doesn't necessarily mean they are now a collector of this toy scene.
No.
It just means they got the keychain that everyone wanted.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I mean, a lot of people said about Funko's Pops, where it used to be the gateway. It's the gateway thing. But I don't know. I think the fact that they were so steeped in pop culture, where if you look at most designer toys, obviously people stick the odd Stormtrooper helmet and things like that on things, you know, but really most of the time it's kind of coming out, it's original stuff, it's coming out of people and it's their art, and that's what they're doing. Where the Funko Pops thing was always, it's a Star Wars thing, it's a Marvel thing, it's a whatever thing, you know, and the people that are really into that thing buy Funko Pops. Now, those people may be into designer toys as well, but it doesn't necessarily mean 9 out of 10 times they're not. So where I think the difference with Pop Mart is that it's much more artists, you know, all of them. There's Kenny behind Molly, you know, there's obviously Kazing behind Labubu. So it's kind of a little bit of it's not so, you know, I suppose, yeah, like I suppose it doesn't feel so kind of like so much of a licensed thing, and it feels more like an actual, this is art, this is, you know, it's mass produced or whatever. I think that's the thing with that I find intriguing with, I think, the Labubu thing is the way that it's just been manipulated. That's what I find crazy, because these aren't limited things, Abraham. No. You know that, mate.
Yeah.
They've got warehouses full of these things, you know. Why you can't just walk in and buy one or two, a case, whatever you want, is a joke. It's been created. So, I mean, fair play to them, because they've done an amazing job with it. The marketing is off the level, and it's a really cool thing, you know. As I said, you know, a lot of us own it already. You know, we were already there with Labubu. We were on board, you know. We didn't need convincing. So, but I just think, I think that's the difference. And I think that's why I suppose I hold out a bit of hope for that it will actually affect the scene at large, kind of thing. Because it's huge. And it actually comes from a proper artist rather than just repeat, whatever the thing is on a Funko Pop.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I do. I mean, what's crazy is the Pop Mart you were saying in Strasbourg?
No, Stratford. It's East London. It's if you know it, it's we call it Stabford.
Okay. So that makes sense. I mean, they have a queue and people are getting in fights and stuff. And so it's like catastrophic there. But here, there's one that's like right down the street from me. Never a line. Never, like, it's just kind of people go, they come in, they leave. Because it's in a mall area that is more high end. Like, it's Pop Mart trying to fit into a place that's really hard to fit into. And it's always empty. So it's like such a weird dynamic.
Sounds like a dream. Sounds like an absolute dream.
Yeah.
So you're a lucky man. My wife would be appreciative for that. And again, you know, I think that's, you know, obviously there isn't, maybe you guys are getting all the stock. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're the ones that ruined it for everybody and you've got all the stock. But I mean, Blair said in Hong Kong, it's going off the boil. And then next thing, I'm like, well, can you go and get something then? Because, like, we can't get any.
Yeah.
There's, like, a new series out. And then next thing, oh, no, I can't get any. There's massive queues. I'm like, oh, I thought you said it was going off the boil. I was like, oh. But, you know, so, you know, it's, I mean, yeah, I'm sure most people wish it was, like, your local store. So,
yeah, which I haven't even been in.
You're missing an opportunity because the resale value for them is like quite good at the moment. So you could make a bit of dough there, mate, if you were that way inclined. So yeah.
It is a crazy thing. I think that it could be, my hope is it's not like a Beanie Baby trend, right? Like there's always the hope that that's not a thing.
I think again, you know, again, it's. I mean, obviously, some. Don't get me wrong. Someone designs Beanie Babies. You know, maybe there is a computer program that does it. I don't know. Yeah. Who cares? But it, you know, it's still not as artist driven. And there's a real kind of, like, you know, I know I've met him. There's a real life human being behind the boo boo. Do you know what I mean? It's so. But yeah. I think that's. And again, it's in so many different, it isn't just that, is it, with Potmart, it's how to works. It's, you know, he does stuff with different people and it's the same with kind of all of them, really. It's you know, being just kind of with one thing or whatever isn't, you know, you need to spread that stuff around, don't you? So, you know, that's and again, I think, yeah, because it's artist based, it's transcend Beanie Babies anyway. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have those in the house. So
following the show, ToyCon UK, there's probably so much, I know that there's so much that goes into these things. How long does it take you to recover? And are you guys already looking to plan next year? Because it's happening again, right?
Yeah. We've got a date penciled in with the venue, which is pretty much nailed down. It's all good. Yeah, we're back in the same venue. We will be there next year. We're going through having a bit of a refresh with artwork, graphics, things like that. So just working with one of the artists who does ToyCon. Like I said, always collaborating, you know. But yeah, no, someone who we've become quite friendly with over the years. So yeah, that's just getting things right. And yes, we debating on, we want to bring ToyConosaurus, the toy, back. We don't want to kind of just put it to bed. We've still got our molds over with Unbox. So yeah. We've got plans afoot. Got some confirmations already, but of course we're not going to, you know, sort of feelers when we, you know, obviously initial feelers and people sort of getting in touch and but we'll be opening up soon just yet, being a little bit sort of end of summer probably for vendors. So yeah. We're as you say, it's always ticking along. I mean, we have to pretty much get in touch with the venue straight away. I should probably really be doing a couple of years in advance, which would give us, yeah, it's amazing. You know, you think, oh yeah, no, you know, you get a handful of dates thrown back at what you asked for, and it's
just, yeah.
So yeah. You know, it's all good. It's all good. So yeah.
Is your second half? I mean, is he? Or he's in Hong Kong, right? Full time.
Yeah, well, he's in Vietnam at the moment. So,
okay.
And he's in Hong Kong full time. Yeah. So
We have a moment to kind of be like, because I'm in the U.S., so we kind of have a moment of like, I'm now jealous of you guys hardcore because we have all these crazy tariffs that are like in flux. And you guys are able to now ship from Hong Kong to UK if you need to, way cheaper than we can.
Well, I mean, I'm now shipping everything to the US. Used to do everything to the US because it was really, it was double cheap for him. So we've now switched it over. We've moved a load of stock over. And so I am now covering you guys because of your crazy.
He's too much.
Oh, it's just the you just don't know what is going to happen next. I'm not going to get into politics because it's shit and it's all shit at the moment. I can't see any kind of glimmer. But that guy is someone else, and I just hope you've got some remnants of all of you people, you know, people like yourself and people that know it's crazy and that there's just something left at the end of it, because he is taking you down a road that's just so horrible. It's just horrible. It's, you know, really mean and nasty. And, you know, there's nothing worse than someone who's been gifted $400 million by their dad.
Yeah.
To then turn out like that. I mean, really, really, you know. God almighty. Anyway, hopefully all of the problem with China, I mean, you ain't going to defeat China.
No.
And the thing is, he's blaming the wrong people. It's American companies that downsized everything over. It wasn't the Chinese that came and got everybody and like got their arms up their backs and went, come on, you've got to downsize all outsource all your stuff to China. They didn't do that. Nike did it years before, so like Indonesia and like, you know, but again, we're going down the politics here a little bit, but you know, it's to try and kind of, you know, then turn around and say, oh, you know, there's this huge imbalance, and it's like, you know, and the thing is, you know, if you are not in America, you're fully aware of like American companies. You know, you guys, you know, you've won. You know, I use Colgate toothpaste. You know, it's this, it's that. Everywhere I look, you know, I eat a Snickers. They're all American companies. All the money goes back to, but he makes out like you guys are going kind of like being ripped off by the rest of the world. And it's like, well, you don't want your nice French cheese or your wines. You don't want the champagne. You don't want this. You don't want that. You know, it's kind of, that's the whole point. You know, you can't get that there, so you get it from there, and it's, you know, but to then penalize people, it's like, it's just the most stupid bloody thing ever. So, yeah. But yeah,
it's crazy.
You can see my thoughts.
I can tell you, your thoughts align with a lot of toy makers over here, and honestly, it's not even because. It's not even because of like the tariff things. That was just a cherry on the top of how awful this administration is.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1.18 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functional. Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's COYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
That was just it. People think that for, especially.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, I know.
Like, but it doesn't even, it is what it is for now. But
I'm angry. I'm having to do more work. That's why I'm having to ship to you guys now. So we have quite a big for Colo-Colo, luckily.
Yeah.
We have a fantastic customer base in the US. So obviously we've got to keep on servicing you guys. But yeah, it's made me extra busy. So Blair's living it up in Vietnam, private pool and all this stuff. So, you know, I'm stuck here shipping stuff. So it'll get sorted, mate. It'll get sorted.
Yeah. So with Corey on the side of ToyCon UK, How do these, I don't know that we've ever talked about, how do these impact each other? Because so much, like, CoreCore has its a booth, a double booth at ToyCon UK.
Yeah.
And then everyone that comes there knows that that's the other extension of who you are. So does it kind of go and play back and forth?
I mean, for us, we want it to, them to help each other. We want CoreCore to bring really cool stuff in that people want to buy. And again, we've, you know, as you said before, we're so lucky to have the headlock be the stockist in this sort of area of the planet. And you know, but at the same time, you know, we're lucky having ToyCon to actually have a shop window to and you know, I mean, kind of that it was our best year this year. We've you know, and since obviously we started in 2015, it was our anniversary, 10th anniversary, and we did the amazing exclusive with Headlock, the blue headed bones with the red leather jacket, so biker jacket, and yeah, we did really, really well this year, and we're buzzing. It was very successful for CoreCore, and again, you know, I suppose for years, maybe the things that we like to collect weren't always at the show, so we used to try and sort of provide those because we know there's other collectors as well that want those things. So for us, is it a synergy thing, whatever, you know, it's a back scratching, you know, it neither gets in the way of either, you know. CoreCore is always there ticking along. Again, we do the pop-up through CoreCore rather than through ToyCon UK in October, and we're doing that again with the Altar Space. They've now moved to not far, I think, just the other side of Brick Lane, which is again in the heart of the East End. And yeah, a guy called Betty Honger, who's very, very lovely man. He also shows at ToyCon as well, so he has a space in ToyCon. But yeah, that's so yeah. CoreCore is, I think. That was probably sort of the real success for us this year was just having a really, really good year with the shop. And I think we've definitely seen like an uplift in the interest, and also a lot of UK orders. The UK orders have really gone up. So we are getting through, I think. It's something's happening.
Yeah. So, which is amazing. Yeah. And I think that there's so much ahead of ToyCon UK. I can't wait to see all the things coming. As we kind of close out on this, is there anything that you could let us know that is coming this next year that we should be excited about? Any insight into what's coming?
Well, obviously, our own pop-up, which will be late October. We usually do it the same weekend. We kind of did it the same weekend as MCM, which is the big comic con here. It's a little bit of a protest, but I'm not going to go into that now. But yeah, it'll probably be. So I think it's the penultimate or last weekend in October. But really, I suppose I'm intrigued by Decon Vegas. So I got married in Vegas. So I know it's a very different place now. But that kind of, it looked so, I think, big and just looks amazing, really, from what I saw and the videos and the photos. So that I think is one to really look out for, as always, really, because it is the biggest of our shows. But I mean, I think there's another event up in called Toy Art in the UK, which is I think in September. So again, a lot of the Toy Con artists and vendors do that as well. Ones that are maybe a bit more local, I think it's Leeds it's that. So people that are a bit more local to that area, I know they do that. So yeah. Blair's the one. He lives in Hong Kong. He gets to go to all the shows. I think he's going to pop over to the Coco Mandarake show. Later on in the year, I think he's planning a trip for that. So as a not in any capacity as vending, just as a recce and a holiday and a bit of a trip to get over and see some people, see some friends. So yeah.
Awesome. Hey, Ben, it's always a pleasure to have you guys on. We can't wait to hear about the next show and all the dates and everything coming up. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, mate. Good to speak to you.